Morning Talk on SAFM.
6 minutes after 10, thanks to Vabakshini Chetty Miller for the news. This is Morning Talk on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader, with me, Rowena Bird. Now, from the overall economy to the green economy, which is said to be one sector which the matric class of 2014 really ought to exploit as a sound training and employment option with long-term sustainable benefits. This is according to Mr. Peter Malherbe, who is managing director of Teva, which is a leading energy-efficient window and door manufacturer. If you want to comment on our topic, do so on 0891 104207, SMS is 234701. So how exactly does the sector attract young people to come and get involved? We will find out. Mr. Malherbe, good morning. Thank you for joining us and welcome.
Good morning, Rowena.
Now, the green economy really cuts across many sectors, doesn't it? You talk agriculture, mining, manufacturing, electricity generation, even tourism. And it's very ubiquitous. Talk about the ubiquity of the green economy and where exactly the opportunities lie.
The green economy, Rowena, is an absolutely fantastic opportunity for young people and everybody in this country. Partly because it simply didn't exist a couple of years ago. Go back 10 years, nobody recycled. Everybody's recycling now, or at least we're trying. And because this economy simply didn't exist, there's no skills, which is obviously not always good, but it's fantastic because there's so much opportunity. Everybody being employed in the green economy, if it's not expertise coming from overseas, it's opportunity for young people, opportunity for our workforce here to train and to skill themselves across all sectors. It really doesn't matter what sector, but the economy is growing so fast, a green economy, a sector that didn't exist 10 years ago, giving all these opportunities to young people.
Meaning clearly that there needs to be some modification in the way that we skill these young people and train them. Talk about the kinds of synergies that need to be explored with tertiary institutions.
Absolutely. Firstly, before the tertiary institutions, government, obviously through the National Development Plan, aims to create 900,000 new jobs through the SMME sector. Now, the economy, the part of the economy that's growing is the green economy. So through this, there needs to be a lot of input from government, from private sector, from tertiary education institutions, and all the role players to encourage people to train them the skills needed. Now, as an example, our company trained every single person working for us from the ground up because the skills didn't exist. And a lot of green companies, especially green companies, offer on-the-job training, internships, things like that that can quite easily skill and scale up our employment of the youth in South Africa.
And is the training that's currently being offered at tertiary institution in line with the needs that we have as a country, seeing that we're looking now in the direction of the green economy?
I would say to a certain degree yes, and to a certain degree obviously no. We need more practical education or practical applications of education, I think personally. Skilled workers in manufacturing, be it what we're doing, be it any sort of initiative that's coming through the economy, it needs to be more practical. And a lot of schools, a lot of tertiary education institutions focus on theory and not that much on practical.
And I mean, if we had a trained workforce in that space, the green economy really has the potential to stimulate growth and to open new markets, not only locally but also globally. Talk about that. Talk about that particular potential.
Absolutely. Look, firstly, the government also realizes this potential. If you have a look at the DTI, the National Development Plan, with the DTI, almost a quarter of their funding is to green initiatives. From 2011, they allocated 22 billion rand in funding for green initiatives, green companies. Now, and that's just one of the funding mechanisms we've got in this country.
And I'd like you to elaborate on that a little bit further, the IDC 22 billion rand fund. I'd like you to tell us exactly where that money is going, because if I remember correctly, it's that funding is going to be over a 5-year period, and I'd like to know where the money has gone to and how somebody can access that money. But we are taking your calls now, 0891 104 207, if you'd like to speak to my guest, Mr. Peter Malherbe, Managing Director of TIVA. And he says that there are many, many opportunities to be explored and exploited in the green economy when it comes to training and upskilling. And that's what we're talking about, the green economy and where the opportunities lie. Call us on 0891 104 207. And I mean, in South Africa, we're blessed with such abundant natural resources. I mean, when it comes to solar, to wind, and so many other minerals, how does this position the country favorably to be or to play a leading role in a greener world?
Well, we all know the problems we've got and the challenges we've got with Eskom. So through any sector, across any sector, anybody that's contributing to the green economy obviously will help supporting the economy, supporting this burden that we've got with not enough energy in the country. Now, with all these abundant resources, like you say, we've got wind installations in Port Elizabeth, which the whole world knows is one of the windiest places we've got. There's another one coming up in Cape St. Francis and St. Francis Bay just next to that. We've got the solar installations happening. So there's a lot happening, albeit, I think, on a more corporate and a bigger scale. If you have a look firstly at the DTI, they established in 2011, as you mentioned, the Green Industry Special Unit, big name, which was allocated 22 billion rand. And as I said, it's about a quarter of the DTI's funding over 5 years. Now, there's various options. For instance, as an example, we're a small company that's operating in the energy efficient space, a leading brand, but we've gone and we are taking our whole factory solar. As a small company, the cost is offset by the electricity we're saving, and obviously our need from Eskom becomes lower, and that helps the national grid. Now, if more companies do these sort of initiatives, and this is from an investment point of view, and that's where the DTI funding comes in. We qualify for funding from the DTI because it's a green initiative, and it's something that creates jobs. It makes our lives easier as a manufacturer. We've got more power available to us if there's load shedding, for instance, and obviously we're saving on electricity costs.
All right, let's take some calls now. Adam, good morning. Welcome.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I'd like to ask, what is it specifically that your company does in terms of the product you manufacture, and how does it help with the green economy? And also, I want to know, are there any projects that the DTI South Africa is looking at where they look to take a concept and miniaturize it so that it can fit into a residential space in terms of going off the grid or going partially off the grid? Is any research actively being done on that particular topic? I'll listen on here. Thank
All
you.
All right. Thank Bye. You, Adam.
Thank you, Adam. Couple of questions there. Firstly, I would say how many projects. I wouldn't be able to answer that, quite honestly. I know there's quite a few projects across the board. Probably get somebody from the DTI, if there's somebody listening, it'd be wonderful if you could phone in. But in terms of getting these initiatives viable for residential projects, an example is, it was actually on carte blanche 2 weeks ago, there's a development in Midrand where they've taken photovoltaic energy, well, so solar panels, they've installed batteries, and they're running Eskom and solar power. When Eskom's not working, they've got the battery backup. So they've essentially taken it, not 100% off-grid, but partially off-grid. And we were involved with that, obviously, from an installation point of view, and that goes on to your second question, what do we do as a manufacturer?
All right, hold that thought. Let's talk to Daniel first. Good morning. Welcome, Daniel.
Good morning, Rowena. Are you speaking to Daniel?
Go ahead.
Yes. I am the founder of Premium Motswana Foundation. We are based in the Northwest Province. Né?
Mm-hmm.
And what I want to outline first is that one of the objectives that we do is, you know, women and youth empowerment through agriculture, looking at food security and renewable energy projects. But now, okay, in terms of renewable projects, I know that it's quite wide. So what we need before, you know, we execute what we need to do, we need training. Now I want to check if we can be provided training and also assist us as well to put in systems in place and also, you know, to get access to those funding that's available for us.
All right. Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
All right, Daniel, with regards to your question on the funding for training, through the DTI, most companies or institutions like yourselves will qualify for a grant of up to 70%, as I understand it, which means any CETA accredited training course in South Africa, you will have to pay for it, and then you get 70% of the money back from the DTI. There's a couple of companies and institutions that can help you facilitate this. SASFIN is one of them, the one that we're using currently. And all these grants are available through facilitation companies through the DTI, and I would recommend contacting SASFIN, and they can definitely help you get access to these sort of monies to get the training you need.
All right, just to go back to a question which you had wanted to answer, which Adam asked, that of what you do and how exactly you help with the green economy.
Adam, thank you. Getting back to your question, well, we make energy-efficient windows, but I like to see us as a company that facilitates and helps achieve sustainable living in the country. And energy-efficient windows are simply something that insulates well. If you've got a well-insulated home, it takes a lot less energy to heat and to cool your home, and especially if you're looking on people living on the breadline. If you're living in a small house, it costs you a relative fortune to heat that up in winter, whereas people that's not earning minimum wages, it doesn't take that much of their disposable income. Now, we've just had a major breakthrough. We are actually supplying our energy-efficient windows into the sector, low-cost housing, in Marikana and in Kimberley and various provinces, where we are supplying energy-efficient windows to these low-cost housing projects, which means we're taking the burden, a lot of the financial burden, off our worker class in South Africa, specifically heating their homes in winter and living more sustainably. And that's a big win for us, because people always think energy efficiency, green, it's a middle class issue. Sustainability, it's not. It's everybody's issue in this country, and it's, for us, it's a big thing to be able to help support a lot of sectors and a lot of people across various income levels.
And how accessible are these energy efficient windows in terms of price?
It's becoming more and more accessible, obviously, as with most new technologies, and it's still a relatively new technology in South Africa. It's starting only now, after 8 years, to become accessible to the rest of the market, and I'll be brutally honest, it took us 8 years to get to a stage where we've got a product that's accessible to the whole country. And we're very proud to say that it is definitely very accessible now.
All right. Give us an example, an average window of, I don't know what the size is, a meter and a half by a meter?
Yeah, let's take about an average window for a kitchen, for instance. You would pay, if you were to go a steel window, old steel window that you have to paint and put putty in and all that sort of thing, it doesn't seal properly, you would pay maybe 500-600 rand. Now with our energy efficient window, something that works, you don't have to do all these additional things, no painting, you would pay maybe 1,000 rand. So it is more expensive, but there's a lot of things, no maintenance, and it's energy efficient.
Can you open these windows?
Absolutely. It works exactly the same as a normal window. It's just the material that's used doesn't transmit the heat and the cold like a steel window.
All right,
window.
Showed me a picture of this window, and it's a double-paneled window. It's a dual, I don't know, you said you've got the words.
Double glazing, yes.
Double glazing.
Certain instances, absolutely. It's a combination of the actual framing material, which is not a metal. It's a synthetic material called UPVC. And metal transmits heat and cold. Take a car bonnet or take a Coca-Cola can versus a plastic Coca-Cola bottle. The can will get cold, so if it's cold, the actual window frame gets cold. Now, depending on where you are in the country, sometimes it's single glass, sometimes it's double glazing, but it's the whole makeup of the window.
All right.
We're getting away from it.
We'll talk more about the green economy when we come back with Mr. Pieter Malherbe, Managing Director of TIVA. It's 21 minutes after 10.
The SA Post Office advises customers to renew their postbox rentals. Rentals can be renewed by presenting a copy of your ID and a pre-printed annual renewal notice at any post office branch or online. The rental fee for 2015 is 363 rand for non-pensioners and 218 rand for pensioners. The SA Post Office also welcomes new applications. Forms are available at your nearest branch and online at virtualpostoffice.co.za. The SA Post Office. We deliver whatever it takes.
What if there were ideas that worked to help limit the spread of TB simply by changing the way hospital wards are designed? Or help learners with maths problems wherever they are through mobile chat? Or revolutionize the use of lasers by changing the beam of a laser digitally? What if these technologies already exist and are making a difference to South Africans every day? Find out more about ideas that heal, educate, and innovate at csirideasthatwork.co.za. CSIR, our future through science.
Join me, Debbie Eselstein, at Quality Life Company's 10th Annual Women's Leadership Conference on March the 19th and 20th. Each year, the Women's Leadership Conference asks powerful leaders to share their leadership secrets with women who want to fast-track their paths from good manager to great leader. For more information on how you can attend the Women's Leadership Conference, call Lizzie on 011-880-9749 or visit welead.co.za. Because when women connect, the world changes.
Parliament will host the State of the Nation address by South African President Jacob Zuma on the 12th of February at 7 p.m. Due to this ceremony of state, Cape Town motorists and pedestrians are advised of parking restrictions and temporary road closures in and around Parliament between the 10th and the 12th of February. You can view the affected streets and the applicable times on www.parliament.gov.za. See adverts in Western Cape daily newspapers or visit Parliament's Facebook and Twitter pages at Parliament of RSA. Parliament apologizes for any inconvenience caused to members of the public by the road closures. This message is brought to you by the Parliament of South Africa.
Morning Talk on SAFM.
23 minutes after 10, this is Morning Talk on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader, with Mr. Pieter Malherbe, the Managing Director of TIVA, and we're talking about the green economy and how it can be exploited in terms of, seeking out where the opportunities lie for young people who have just finished matric particularly. And this is what Mr. Malherbe is outlining for us. Earlier on, you mentioned the IDC Green Industry Special Business Unit that was established in 2011. We mentioned that it's a 22 billion rands project that that runs over a 5-year period. Tell us who it has helped to date, because this is part of the support that we're talking about, that there is support out there for young people. They just need to go to the right places and ask the right questions, and maybe you'll also tell us what the right questions to ask are, because there is help, there are incentives, there are concessions. Talk about that.
Obviously, one of the major parts of this initiative was, and I'm sure we all remember that, the switching out light bulbs for energy efficient light bulbs. That was something that was rolled out across the country. There's various incentives for homeowners. There was something with regards to solar geysers, but I would say mostly my guess is most of this money went to various manufacturing initiatives in the green space, if I were to take a flyer. There's not a lot of companies that apply for this. And this is why we're here. This is why we're trying to get the message out there. The funds are available. All the initiatives are there. The guys that want to get into the green economy, it is something where you can skill up, create your own first. You can be a market leader. You can come up with new ideas and initiatives. The country needs new ideas and initiatives. And it's literally young people leaving school, young people that have left school. Get into the green economy, get into these green companies, do internships, start, get the skills, even if it's to start at the bottom, and get these ideas and throw it around. Try looking at various ideas, see where you can get the funding, and that's what I believe we are going to turn the country around with. It's entrepreneurship, and we need young people to look at that as a viable option, especially with all these funds and opportunities available to them.
Mm. And I mean, if this represent what you said, 25% of IDC's total funding, that really, to me at least, it shows government's commitment to helping out and to the growth in this of the sector.
Absolutely, government is completely committed to the sector and SMMEs, as we mentioned earlier. And I think government also sees the opportunities in combination with all the stakeholders. Eskom is struggling. There's new power stations on the way. And we need these initiatives. And government realizes that. And that's why we've got all of this available to us.
Here's an SMS. A basic question from a very ignorant housewife. It starts, how does one prevent clouding over solar panels with rain, dust, etc., thereby reducing efficiency? It's not a stupid question at all. That's anxious to go green. That's a farmer's wife, she says.
Okay. Clouding over panels might be a slight misconception. Sometimes there is clouding that forms underneath the panel, if I can put it that way.
And clouding meaning what? Dirt.
Damp.
Oh, damp.
Let's call it, condensation that forms underneath the panel. And that, unfortunately, simply is, it wasn't installed properly, it isn't sealed properly. Now, dirt and the likes, it's like a window. If it gets dirty, you have to wash it. I'm sorry.
All right. And Dumisani Hlengetwa writes, in reducing environmental and ecological risks, does the green economy advocate organic farming in agriculture, and how much has been done in that space?
Okay. So, Sunny, unfortunately, I cannot answer that. I'm not in the agriculture sector at all, but the green economy encompasses everything. It's anything that's sustainable, renewable, and definitely from an organic farming point of view, it is more sustainable. It's been proven there's less pesticides, so everything is encompassed with this green economy. What are we doing to promote it? I cannot answer that. There's a lot of initiatives, like we said, but all these industries should be pushing their own initiatives to try and get the message out.
All right, and what you're trying to do is urge the class of 2014 to take advantage of the opportunities that exist in this economy, and you keep saying, go for it, guys, go for it, guys. Where do they start?
Look for companies in the green energy market, look at the companies in the green economy, and go apply for internships. We've got on-the-job training that we offer young people that come in that want to see what it's about. And I'm sure there's many other companies that function in this space that do exactly the same thing. And I mean, I want to put a challenge up. People that want to see what happens in a manufacturing company that does energy-efficient windows, contact us. Come for a week internship. You're more than welcome. And a lot of these companies, especially the SMMEs, offer these sort of initiatives.
And how do you find these companies? On the internet?
Internet would be a great place to start. You'll see newspapers, you'll see solar companies advertising. Grab a newspaper, grab a local newspaper, see who's around your area, see who's doing these things, see who's getting out there, and contact them. People are a lot more open these days, especially, I think, because the green economy is so young. It's a lot more younger entrepreneurs compared to the old established financial markets, for instance. The green economy is exciting because it is young and it's full of young people.
And because it is so young, just in closing, talk about the future of this economy.
Endless. Absolutely endless. When we started, there wasn't anything like a green economy, and that was 8 years ago. We're sitting in 2011, which was 4 years ago, three, 4 years ago, the government made available 22 billion rand for funding. It is a multi-billion rand. The estimates are that within the next 10 years, it will hit way over a trillion rand. But it's so difficult to put in a box, and that's the beauty of it. There is massive opportunity, and because it's a new industry, new skills are needed and new ideas, and that's where the opportunity lies for young
people. Give us your details, please.
www.tivawindows.co.za.
Thank you very much, Mr. Peter Malherbe, the Managing Director of Tiva. It's 10:30 and time for the news headlines with Vapakshini Chetty with Utsile Sago.
Thank you.